The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. I'm hoping you're an eagle.
I'm hoping so too, Howard, but I have to be sure about it. I'm not sure. I'll have to give it consideration. We've got a month left until Rosh Hashanah, Chodesh Tov.
So you want to go home and think about that. Are you a chicken or an eagle?
It's a good time over the month of Elul to give that consideration. But Howard, what I wanted to say is that there are a few little snippets of things that have come to my attention before we get into the meaty things that we want to talk about. First of all, there is this conspiracy theory going around about this ammonium nitrate explosion in Beirut. Now they're saying, there were some German newspaper reports saying that apparently Hezbollah received supplies of ammonium nitrate from Iran. And we know that ammonium nitrate is used not only for fertilizers and things of that sort of nature, but apparently also used for explosive devices. And so one wonders whether there is any truth to this conspiracy theory that perhaps the ammonium nitrate that was that exploded, that was being stored at the Beirut port, might not have been one of the supplies from Iran headed for Hezbollah. I mean, we know that there's been sort of an outpouring of anti-Hezbollah feeling in Lebanon following that explosion. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's any basis or truth to this conspiracy theory. But it's just an interesting little thing to throw out there. The other thing that I just wanted to mention was I was somewhat interested in the fact that Beatty Deutsch, who we know is Israel's ultra-Orthodox marathon runner, she's hired lawyers to challenge the Olympic Committee about their decision to hold the marathon event on Shabbat. An unusual thing. It's unusual, first of all, for the marathon to be on Shabbat. Usually, the marathon is set for a Sunday. And when the Olympic Games schedule was put together, apparently it was scheduled for a Sunday, and then changed to a Saturday. And now that the program has been reset for 2021 rather than 2020, as it was originally it was supposed to happen, apparently it's been set for a Saturday, which is all in August of 2021. And she's hired lawyers in the U.S. who have challenged the executive committee of the Olympic Games, saying that the concept of reasonable accommodations for religious beliefs and observances is a well-established principle under U.S. law. I'm not quite sure if that applies to the Olympic Games in Japan. But apparently in the 2012 Summer Olympics, allowances were made for Muslim athletes when some of the events coincided with Ramadan, and they were given alternative meal times, and certain endurance events were scheduled for earlier in the day because of the fact that they were fasting over Ramadan. So it's going to be interesting to see whether Beatty Deutsch might be successful in challenging the marathon event and being able to participate in it if it's moved to a Sunday. Obviously, if it's on Shabbat, she will not participate. That is already established. But if she manages to succeed, maybe she'll be there.
Fascinating, because I can't imagine that, I mean, it's very difficult to dismiss this. It is based purely on religious grounds. She's lived this life as a religious Jew. This is who she is. It's not for any other reason, but very purely for religious reasons that she can't run. And it does seem to discriminate against people who are Orthodox or observant Jews.
I would have thought that there would have been a very strong legal argument which says the original date was set down for Sunday. Now that you've changed it, and we've been through this process of qualifying and training and preparing and whatever, and you've made it on a day which is not convenient and not suitable, there must be some sort of an obligation to the original date, given that that's what people were kind of working towards. I mean, you know, the whole religious argument, of course, is a strong one too. But the question is whether the Japanese authorities will adhere to some of the rulings by that come under the U.S. law It's going to be interesting just to follow that and see how that gets along and how that's viewed by the Olympic Committee, the Executive Committee of the Olympic Games.
Yeah, certainly I'm interested in seeing how that one goes. It's transpired that Israel's number of COVID-19 fatalities has been understated. What is the cause of the understatement, and do we know by what kind of a quantum?
Well, yeah, the numbers that are being spoken about are approximately 50 people to be added to the list of those who have died as a result of being infected by COVID-19. This is a really crazy and disastrous situation. I mean, it's not huge numbers in the overall scheme of things. Israel's numbers reached about 700 a day or two ago, and so these extra 50 will take us to about 750, 760, and that sort of order of magnitude. And we're seeing around 10 people dying each day at the moment. So there are still a large number of people who are dying as a result of COVID each day. These extra 50 people come from apparently care homes, private care homes, who we are told did not report their numbers to the authorities, to the Ministry of Health. The Ministry of Health has blamed the care homes for undercounting their deaths. He's also ordered a significant investigation to find out whether this might not be a wider problem, whether this is potentially just the tip of the iceberg. But apparently, as a result of this revelation, which relates to the deaths of people just in the months of July and August, an extra 53 senior citizens who passed away and who were not counted in the numbers have now been added in. I think this is really, really crazy. I don't understand how this could have happened. I mean, we're not such a huge country where, you know, it's impossible to keep control of what's going on around the place. Everybody knows that the number of COVID-19 victims is being counted up. I just don't know how this could have slipped through the net and whether this is an indication of a larger problem. We do know that some countries have been trying purposefully to conceal numbers. I don't think that that would be the case here. At least I hope not. But officially now the number stands actually at 772. The number of people, 781. 9 more people were added over the last 3 or 4 hours. So 781 fatalities in total since the outbreak of the coronavirus way back when it was in March, whenever it is. And of course, added to that little story is the fact that the COVID-19 cabinet is due to meet later today in order to discuss what they're going to do about lockdown over the holiday period, over the Chagim. So we are all waiting with bated breath to hear if the Corona cabinet decides that we're going into a significant lockdown over the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot period.
It's just never ending. It's just it's a circle of getting better, getting worse, etc. Quite difficult, I must say. Prime Minister Netanyahu, I mean, speaking of which, this is no different. Prime Minister Netanyahu told Likud members of Knesset to behave as though they were heading into an election. So I saw a comment yesterday that Netanyahu was seen at, I think it was Machane Yehuda, one of the marketplaces, and somebody said, "Oh, does that mean we are heading towards an election? Is Israel heading toward another election?"
Well, I suppose we will know more once we get through this November date, which is now the revised date for the approval of the budget. It's always the case that when the Prime Minister goes to Machane Yehuda, everybody thinks we're going to elections. That's kind of the two things that seem to be connected to each other. And apparently he was out in Machane Yehuda, which is the general market in Jerusalem, the shuk, as some people like to call it, in Jerusalem. And we know that he has a huge amount of support traditionally from the market vendors at Machane Yehuda. They love it when he comes around there. You know, generally these market vendors have a lot to say. They're very vocal and very, very entertaining as well. A lot of them have got a very good sense of humor, and they come out with one-liners which would put many of our stand-up comedians to shame. But the Prime Minister was at Machane Yehuda, and so of course people are saying, does this mean he's trying to drum up support for elections? I doubt it very much, to be honest. I don't think that the two events are linked, but the Prime Minister has said that members of Knesset should be behaving as if they were heading to elections. And we do know that the Prime Minister has convened a special meeting over the coming weekend to decide apparently whether he wishes to disband the unity government or whether he wishes to try to continue to operate within it at least for the next few months. So there does seem to be a moment of decision, and I'm not exactly sure what is causing this crisis situation where the Prime Minister decided he needs to make a decision over this weekend about whether he wishes to continue or not. But what we've seen in the polls at any rate is that the Likud seems to have lost ground, particularly towards Yamina, towards the Naftali Bennett party. And, you know, the current opinion polls are showing a significantly weakened Likud, although the agreement with the United Arab Emirates seems somehow to have strengthened the situation, returned him back to a little bit nearer to where he was at the time of the previous election. But we seem to be kind of living on the edge of elections continuously. We're almost like on tenterhooks. It's almost like we're balancing on the edge of the cliff. We're trying to keep this government going. We're trying to get a budget. We're trying to get general committees of government working and moving after such a long hiatus. And we're also balancing on the edge of potentially going to another election. And I think inevitably, the more we balance like this, the nearer we are to an election. You know, if it wasn't relevant, then people wouldn't be talking about it. Why is this constant discussion always in the press about the potential election? Opinion polls constantly trying to, get what people would support under the current circumstances. It's just like always on the edge of another election, and I think inevitably that's probably what will happen.
Yeah, it's just quite unbelievable how unsettled, unstable, and how unimpressive it's been. Really, it just hasn't been. It just hasn't been a successful government in any way.
No, not at all. And to be honest, I mean, at the very, very outset, there were indications that this was not going to work well. We always knew that the idea of rotating prime ministers hasn't been a great idea to begin with. The likelihood of the rotation, which is due to take place towards the end of next year, was always that the government is more likely to fall than the rotation take place. Everybody understood that from the very outset. But we were in a crisis situation, needing a government just to get business of state back on the road again. So we've managed to do that. Perhaps the answer is, you know, now that those things have been regularized, it's time to go to another election. I don't know, because we do need some stability, and this is not contributing towards it at all.
No, certainly it isn't. The Temple Mount has been closed to Jews wishing to visit over Rosh Chodesh. Why was the step taken, Anthony?
Well, things are clearly very unstable at the moment. We've seen continued conflict on the Gaza border. The IDF have attacked targets in Gaza, I think, continuously for the last 2 weeks, almost every night, in response to the terror balloons, in response to the rockets that are being fired. There is a lot of instability at the moment, a lot of anger against the announcement about the agreement with the United Arab Emirates. As a result of that, the government seemed to find, or the security authorities decided, that they were going to ban the people from visiting not only over Rosh Chodesh, but in fact they're also going to be banning Jewish visitors from visiting the Temple Mount leading up to the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it's already been decided that those days are going to be off limits because of the complexity of the situation, because of the potential conflict that might arise in that area. And what's fascinating, in addition to all of that, is that there's been a fatwa issued by the Chief Mufti of Jerusalem to ban Muslims going to Al-Aqsa who have come to visit Al-Aqsa under the agreement with the United Arab Emirates. A fatwa, which is a very, very strong Muslim edict, which says, do not do it, you are not allowed to do it. Any Muslims visiting Israel for the purposes of coming to Al-Aqsa who've been allowed to do so under the new peace arrangement with the United Arab Emirates are not allowed to under this new fatwa. Now, this is kind of the craziest thing I've ever heard, because one would imagine that people who are enabled to come to conduct something which is considered to be a holy action would be allowed to do it under the new circumstances, and that the religion would somehow encourage them to fulfill this, but apparently not. It sounds almost like the South African government saying it's regrettable that there's been a peace. It's regrettable that you can come to pray at Al-Aqsa, so we're not going to allow you to do that.
It's absolutely mind-blowing how
astonishing,
how awful peace is to some people.
It's really just astonishing that people would look at peace agreement, and even though you might not fully support the circumstances under which it has been reached, you might not fully support some of the consequences which would fall out of that, and we understand all of that, but surely peace is good, no matter where, no matter when, no matter how. Surely, am I missing?